In this next session, I'm going to talk about the opening statement. Now, here in DC, whereas the government is required to give an opening statement in any trial, the defense doesn't have to. And that makes sense because we don't have the burden of proof. We're not required to do anything during the trial. The defense can give an opening statement immediately after the government finishes, or the defense can reserve opening until the defense case, or the defense can never give an opening statement. But my advice, my very strong advice, is to give an opening statement in every trial and to do it immediately after the government gives his or her own opening statement. In all the trials I've had here in DC, I've never once waived or reserved my opening statement. And there's a reason for that. Because after the government's given the government's opening statement, you are losing. The judge or the jury has just heard one side of the story. And if the government's done its job correctly, all of that points to your client being guilty. And so to level the playing field, you need to immediately get on your feet and give that opening statement. But it's not just to level the playing field for why we always want to give an opening statement and why we want to do it right away, but because that opening statement is a lens with which you want the fact finder, in this case the judge, to view the evidence, to view the entire trial. And so that's what an opening statement really is. It's not, you know, a description of every single piece of evidence that the judge is going to hear during the trial. It's not a discussion of every single witness that's going to come in during the course of the trial. It's a lens with which you want the judge to view the evidence. Or it's an alternative interpretation of the facts that will come out during the opening statement. The opening statement is also a kind of story. People love stories. They love to hear stories. They're compelled to act by stories. And an opening statement is, in a way, a story. But it's not necessarily a chronological story about the incident itself. Now, that's what the government's opening always is. It usually starts on such and such day, the complainant was walking down the street or something like that, when the complainant was attacked or robbed or what have you. And the story starts at the beginning, and then it goes through the crime with which your client is charged. And usually their story ends either with your client being arrested or even with some post-arrest investigation if the police did it. It's always a chronological story about what happened. The story you tell may not be that type of story. It might be. It might be a story about what happened, but it might not be. It might be a story about the police investigation in the case. It might be a story about one particular witness which is driving the government's case against your client. So think about it, an opening statement as a type of story, but not necessarily a chronological story about what happened. The opening statement is also a type of argument. Now, it's not a closing argument. It's called an opening statement. And it's called that because you cannot characterize the evidence in the case. But what you can do, what you should do during your opening statement, is to structure it and to talk in such a way that you are persuading the fact finder. Every time the trial is going on, including the opening statement, it is an opportunity to advance your theory of the case, to persuade your fact finder. So think of the opening statement as a type of argument. Again, you're not characterizing the evidence, which you can't do, but you are persuading. One way you can do that is, though I don't tell people to always say the evidence will show or you will learn before everything they say, you can use that here and there to prevent an objection from the government for stating something that might be perceived as being objectionable. Now, I encourage people to write the opening statement before the trial starts. It's not something you want to be just doing on the fly. Like everything we do in the courtroom, there's a ton of preparation that goes into it. So when should you do it? Well, you're not doing it on day one of your case or even on day three, because at that point you haven't selected your theory of the case. I spoke already about the importance of selecting the defense theory of the case. Obviously, you need to know what that theory is before you can write your opening statement, because that opening statement will again be driving that defense theory, that theory of the case. So at some point between when you have finally decided and selected that theory of the case, but before the trial starts, you should write that opening statement. a statement that you'll work on, you'll probably have to do a number of drafts, and that ultimately you should memorize so that when you are speaking to your fact finder, the judge, you're not sitting there reading something. You don't connect well with people when you're reading. You need to have eye contact with them. Occasionally you'll lose your train of thought. You might have to look back at what you wrote. That's okay. Just say, judge, let me look at my paper, take a moment to look. But really try and stay out of the habit of reading anything when you're trying to talk to someone. People aren't persuaded when somebody is reading something, and that opening statement is that opportunity to persuade. Okay, so you know it's something you have to write before the trial, and that hopefully you will memorize before the trial. So what are you going to put in it? Well, you're going to want to start out right away with a declaration of your client's innocence, right? Because what the government just said, everything they've said, points to your client being guilty. So one of the first things that comes out of your mouth, if not the very first, is that your client is innocent of these charges. Some people disagree if should you say in your opening statement that your client's innocent or your client is not guilty. I don't know that I feel that strongly about that one. But either way, you should come out and very early on declare that your client is either innocent or not guilty. Shortly after that, you should have a theme. What is a theme? A theme is just what the case is about. It could be that this case is about a rush to judgment. This case is about assumptions. Or it might be something like this. On this such and such date, on September 1st, my client had a choice between life and death, because on that day the complainant came at him and tried to kill him. So my client chose life, and he defended himself, and he is not guilty of these charges. So that first line about the choice, that would be a theme of the case. After that, you want to state what your theory of the case is, what your defense is, and what that version of events, that factual component to your theory of the case. Don't hide the ball on this one. You want it to be crystal clear to your fact finder, because that theory of the case is what they're going to use to evaluate all of the evidence during the trial. So try and be simple. Use simple and straightforward language when you discuss your theory of the case. Don't get too bogged down in the minutiae. Don't promise too much. Remember, the trial hasn't started. We don't want to promise something we can't deliver on. So don't get too much into the details, but just enough details to support your theory of the case. And you want to bring out those facts that are going to support your theory of the case. Talk about those theories. Not only that, you want to talk about the problems in the government's case. Problems maybe with some of their witnesses, problems with the investigation, perhaps the lack of evidence or the evidence the judge won't hear during the course of the trial. You certainly want to talk about those things during your opening statement. And of course, you don't want to avoid the bad facts in your case during your opening statement. If there are some really bad facts, a statement your client made, the fact that the complainant identified your client during a photo, during a lineup, or during a show-up procedure, if there's something that you know is central to the government's case against your client, address it. Let the fact finder know that you're not worried about those facts, that you're going to deal with them, that you're going to handle them. And of course, you're going to want to ultimately conclude with some final remarks that comes back to your theme and again reinforces the notion that your client is innocent of these charges. A few other pointers I just want to talk about briefly as you think about your opening statement. Pay attention to the language you use. Language is very important. Are you going to refer to the person in a robbery case by your client's name or as the perpetrator? Well, I suppose it depends what your theory of the case is. If the idea is that someone else did this, you don't want to talk about your client as the one who went up there and took the bag. It's the perpetrator or someone else or the other guy, however you want to do it. Be mindful of that language. Of course, if your theory is fabrication and you're saying your client was present, you can refer to your client by name, because that supports and advances your theory of the case. Is it a crime scene or is it a scene where something happened, but which isn't a crime, if you're saying there was no crime that took place? If it's a self-defense case, do you want to say that the complainant approached with a 3-inch pocket knife from the Ace Hardware store? Or do you want to say it was a shank, a sharp shank, a deadly weapon? Something, again, that will support and advance your theory of the case. Don't argue the law. In your opening statement, there's really no reason to get into the law at this point. Perhaps in a self-defense case or a case where a specific principle of law is very important, you might mention it. But this isn't really the opportunity to get into the law too much. No reason to talk about things like the presumption of innocence, the burden of proof, reasonable doubt. If you're going to talk about them at all, you'll do that during your closing argument, not here during your opening. And of course, we often talk about primacy and recency. You want to start strong and you want to end strong. So make sure those first few words that you have chosen, you've chosen them carefully. They catch the attention of your fact finder. There's really no need to get up there and say, "Hello, my name is such and such. I represent so and so." Just get right to it. Judges are human. Their attention span, like anyone else, is fleeting. You want to make sure you grab them right away, that you're not going to spend a long time giving this opening statement. Really, it might be a matter of minutes at the most. And of course, you're going to end strong. If it's too long, if you use too many words, you might lose your fact finder. So only use the exact number of words you need to say what you must, to advance your theory and to do the things you want to do, to give the judge the lens with which you need the judge to view the evidence during the course of the trial. And in terms of execution, I think I talked about this already. You do want to memorize that opening statement as much as possible so you know it, so you know it well, so you have it down. Be passionate when you speak. Show the fact finder that you believe in what you are saying. This isn't just something you're doing because you have to. Have that passion. Let them see it. And you'll be on your way to winning your trial.